Everybody set back there? Everything on record? Praise you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, we glorify you as God. And we know, Lord, you're helping each and every one of us with our inner life, our individual lives that we live before you. The inner man of the heart, the connectedness that we have within you and with you, Lord God. And you are teaching us, Lord, also the different things that go on in our thinking, Lord. And you're helping us that even in our inner thought life, it's a life, Lord God, that lives to your glory, because that's what we believe, Lord, that every thought and intent of the heart, Lord, that it moves to you in your direction, because you're the one who gives us the word, the promises, the blessings, the teachings that causes us to be able to compare what's going on in our thinking and compare it to what your word has to say, and then we have a choice to make. And we pray, and I hope, Lord God, that as believers in Jesus, that we always choose our thoughts towards you. So we thank you that once again, as we look at this subject, Lord, as you put on my heart last week and this week also, you say, I say, they say, the devil says, God says. And we thank you, Father, that our say will come from what God's word says. So we praise you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. As most of you know, that our life consists, the way that we communicate the most is verbally. We verbally communicate with each other. There's self-talk going on with inside you all the time. You know, there's probably something you're talking to yourself about. And I remember when I was teaching youth for many years, and I said, you know, if we could hook up some speakers, you know, in your brain, in your thinking, and just have it projected for a week, would it be God talk, self-talk, carnal talk, the devil talk? And they're like, no, you wouldn't want to know what's going on. And I thought, well, I wonder how that would be for adults. You know, the things that go on inside of us, if it was just broadcast all the time. And we might say, well, it's not broadcast, so I can get away with it. Not really. We don't get really away with anything. And that's why it's important for us to look at what God's word says concerning words, concerning our inner life, and concerning what God's word has to say. So tonight, I've just entitled this, Saying What You Believe. Now, the reason why I put this title there, because I didn't define what your belief is in. We say what we believe. Okay, the belief could be in God, the belief could be in our own ability, the belief could be in what we have seen in the world, the belief could be things that we've experienced in life, whether they're of God or not of God, that usually what comes out of our mouth when we're having a conversation, it's from a place of things that we have through our lifetime accumulated, things that we believe in, things that we don't believe in, but even the things that we don't believe in, there's a belief why we don't believe in them. Okay? And so it's important for us, you know, at times, you know, when something happens and something comes out of our mouth, why does that phrase come out of our mouth? Why does that cuss word come out at times when people say something? When someone gets upset or cuts you off on the road, what's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Hey, bless you, brother. You know? Or does something else come out of your mouth? And then you have like, whoa, where's that coming from? You know, why is that there? Why am I reacting or responding like that? And so, you know, at times we have to get really real and examine what we say and why we say it. So I want to start off this evening saying what you believe. I just want to be sensitive to what the Lord... Okay, let's just look last week. You know, I made a reference to something that the disciple said and something that Jesus said. And so let's go back to John chapter 4, the woman at the well, after Jesus' ministry to her, and she goes off back into the city of Samaria, going in, come see a man, could this be the Christ? And then, you know, the disciples are coming back because they went away to get something to eat for Jesus. So the disciples are coming back, and this lady, you know, is now departing. And the disciples are looking. Jesus talking to a Samaritan. Wonder what he's doing that for. Jesus talking to a woman, not even supposed to be talking to a woman. And so they had these questions with inside themselves that they didn't even tell Jesus. And so this woman goes back into the city. And then verse 30 talks about the whole city. Then they went out of the city and came to him. So Jesus' impact on this woman, she goes back in and declares it everywhere within that Samaritan city. And so all these people are following her outside the city. Okay? In the meantime, the disciples urge him, you know, Rabbi, eat something, verse 31. And then Jesus makes a declaration here about food. And he's speaking about a spiritual food. But how many times when we read through the Gospels, that the disciples are still stuck in the natural realm. They are still stuck no matter. Even Jesus says, I have food to eat of which you don't know. And right away they're like, who brought him food? So therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And so, you know, here Jesus says something spiritual. They interpret it in the natural realm. Jesus goes on to say in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food, my sustenance, that which feeds me, is to do the will of him, or to do the will of God who sent me, and to finish or complete what he has sent me to do, to finish his work. Do not say, once again, he's going to the natural realm to them right now. Do not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. So there had to be a harvest, probably the last harvest. It probably was the wheat harvest that he was referring to here. And as I said last week, when something is planted in the ground, it's a whole lot longer season from the seed till the time it takes to harvest it, right? And so he's trying to tell them, you're still saying that there's still 4 months to the harvest, right? But he's saying there's a spiritual harvest right here. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white, already white for harvest. I could just imagine Jesus, instead of saying, don't say that there's 4 months for this harvest. And all these people are coming out from Samaria. It says the whole city's coming unto him. Lift up your eyes and look at this harvest. It's ripe. So he's talking about harvesting people. He takes from the natural, don't say 4 months. God is trying to get people from the natural to the spiritual, from the natural to the spiritual. And a lot of times we still perceive things naturally that God's trying to teach us something spiritually. And in this lesson tonight here, I want to speak with you concerning that God's word has power. All of our words have power, and especially God's word living with inside of us, released through a heart and mouth of faith and belief in him, have exceedingly greater power than any natural words that we're saying. Do you believe that? Okay. And so, you know, here was this, you say this, I say this. And there's a lot of times that God has to work on us to get what we say lined up with what he wants us to say. In order for that to happen, he's got to get in his word with inside of our thinking. Because what we say, the words that we say, is the result of what's going on inside of us. So for us to go from where we are at in a natural thinking or in a natural view of things to a spiritual view of things, we need to have implanted within us the word of God that will cause us to begin seeing or perceiving things the way that God wants us to perceive things. Start living life the way that he wants us to live life. To start seeing life the way that he wants us to see it. How many of you realize that you can see all the problems going around? See, that we know what's taking place in the kingdom of this world, but the word of God says we're to seek first the kingdom of God, okay? And always maintaining a right standard with him, or a righteous life before him. In other words, we're supposed to know what is taking place or what God has in the kingdom of God that supersedes the natural kingdom that we're living in. But so many times we talk about the natural life as greater than the spiritual life. And how's that revealed? Through the words that come out of our mouth. So the words that come out of our mouth indicate or show where we're living, where we're at spiritually. Does that make sense? So let's look real quickly here at a few scriptures of what Jesus talks about that comes out of a person's mouth. Let's go over here for the first one in Matthew chapter 15. And what I, you know, this is one of the passages that when I get down to this one passage, verse 13, most people connect that with what Larry says. This is I think the first time I heard it taught that Larry indicated it. But we will start up here with, let's see, verse 10. Matthew 15, verse 10. Then he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. So these are words coming out of Jesus' mouth, and he's wanting them to hear. He's wanting them to bend their ear. How many of you know you can sit here and listen but not hear? Okay, you can just sit here and just, you know, okay, I went to Wednesday night class for an hour, and I sat through, and I don't remember anything that he said. The Word of God even says in the book of Proverbs, incline your ear to hear. Be purposeful about what you hear. Mind, shut up right now. You just had dinner. Don't think about going to bed. You know, don't think about that person who just cut you off. Or don't think about that brother or sister who didn't greet you tonight. There's all kinds of stuff that go on in our head, right? And Jesus is saying, hear, but he's also saying, with your hearing, as it says in Proverbs, he says, understand. Even Proverbs says, you know, in all you're getting, get wisdom or get understanding. And so he says, I want you to hear what I'm saying, but I want you to grasp and understand what I'm saying. And he's going to make a comparison here. Look what he says here. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth, this defiles a man. And, you know, so many of the Jewish people, they were so caught up on the ceremonial laws, the dietary laws. And, you know, why do your disciples, you know, eat, you know, go in the fields and get grain and eat them on the Sabbath? They were always nitpicking about the natural stuff, right? And Jesus just said, you know, what goes into your mouth is not what's going to defile you. He said it's what comes out of your mouth. And so he's trying to make a shift here. He's trying to get a shift in their thinking. He's trying to get them to weigh, you know, quit nitpicking one another about what you're eating and what you're doing this and what you're doing that. I mean, is it important to eat healthfully? It's very important, right? But the words that we say reveal the inner health of our life. And so look what he goes on here to say. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard these sayings? Because Jesus rebuked them about their traditions and, you know, the Word of God says this and then you've made up these other laws that you say that. And they got all bent out of shape because of what Jesus said to them. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. And what is he referring here? He's talking about defiling words. He's speaking here of, well, when you go back and you read it in context here, the context was that children are supposed to honor their parents. You're to honor your mother and your father. And the Jewish people had this other book that gave these traditions that they could, like, well, you know, okay, this is what the commandment says, but if you go and give a gift at the altar, if you go and do this, then you'll be excused of that commandment. And what Jesus was just saying, here's what the Word of God says. It says it very plainly and it says it very directly. Your tradition, your excuse, you're trying to take a compromise or water down what God has said, makes the Word of God of none effect. It doesn't do what it says it will do. And so your tradition, your false commentary on what that says is going to take the power out of what God's Word says, okay? Because they thought that instead of helping out their parents when they got elderly, that they could just give a portion of the money. Let's say, how many of you know that when a mom or dad gets sick and you've got to take care of them, there's a lot of investment you have to do, okay? Christine has been a caregiver over the years to her own mother and to another lady here in the church. It requires a lot of time and effort when somebody is ill to take care of them. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes money. Sometimes you're just totally drained, you know, when you're a caregiver, right? And so instead of taking care of their parents, they were told, the tradition says, well, you can give X amount of money to the temple, and you'll be released to that. Isn't that crazy? And that, you know, you can be excused from all that what would take to take care of mom and dad. Just give this gift here to the temple. And it was just, you know, Jesus just saying, look, I'll just go ahead and read it to you here. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Verse 3. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, God says, you say. Remember, this is what we've been looking at. God says versus what we say. You say, whoever says to his father or mother, what profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple. I don't have the resources now to take care of you. I've given those resources. I've dedicated them. They may still have them, but they dedicated those resources to the temple. So I can't use this anymore to take care of you. Wow. Right? And apparently that was a tradition that they could have done. That's what, you know, getting away with not obeying the word of God, the commandment of God. It says right here, it's been dedicated to the temple, is released. You say this now, because they did this, they are released from honoring his father or mother. And then look what it says here. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. By your tradition. And so we want to make sure that we know what the Word of God says, that we keep to what the Word of God says, and we don't get in there and compromise it, change it, water it down, and make it say something else, right? And so what Jesus is talking about here in verse 13, every plant which my Father has not planted will be uprooted. Any belief within us, any tradition within us, any doctrine, when I say doctrine, means teaching. Doesn't always mean biblical teaching. How many of you have gone to college or you went to secondary school or tech school or you took some kind of courses? Like, you know, I took psychology courses years ago. How many of you know that there are teachings that we may have within us that actually oppose the Word of God? And so when it speaks here of every plant, remember a plant begins first as a seed. Okay, and that seed has grown to where it's doing something within your life. It has grown to a plant, and that plant now has a place, has a rooted place within your life, and there you're speaking from that which has grown in you. Now, we know when Jesus talked about the seed, he said the seed was the Word of God. Therefore, we can receive other kinds of seeds. We can receive a bad seed. I mean, even growing up, I remember one mother, this is before I knew Jesus, that did not want me hanging out with her son. And she actually looked at me and says, you're bad seed. And I don't want you hanging out with my child. She thought I was going to negatively influence him, lead him astray. So she called me bad seed, bad blood. Well, everybody outside of Jesus is bad seed. We've got bad blood. That's why we need the seed of Christ and we need his blood, right? So words can be words of God that are seeds and words from other people or other things that have been lodged within us and that they've stayed there for a period of time where they've actually started to produce a growth or begin producing some kind of fruit, some kind of belief within inside of us. So Jesus is saying every plant which does not originate from God or is from God or is of God, isn't that nice to know that, will be uprooted. That's one thing you've got to just grab hold of. That anything in a believer's heart, anything in a believer's life that does not have God's amen with it, false teaching, a false belief, it could be emotional issues, anything, any thoughts, words, feelings, things that we've experienced in life that causes our thoughts not to be of God, Jesus refers to that thing being a plant. And we have an assurance before God that every plant that the Heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted within our life. And you've got to grab hold of that this evening. You've got to grab hold of anything that may have happened to you, any words that you've been taught, any teachings that you may have received of the world. How many of you realize that sometimes we could even watch certain TV shows over a period of time? Do you realize that it, whether you believe it or not, producers have agendas. When they make a TV show, yes, it's entertaining. Yes, it gets our attention. But they have an agenda, and they also have something they're trying to communicate to you for you to agree to. Okay, for you to agree. How many of you know that there are script writers, and they write these scripts, and they get us to laugh with things probably that we shouldn't laugh at? They get us to go along with things that we shouldn't get along with. But when we're seated there, we are submitted to what is before us. So just always realize, watching something, you're submitting to what is being said. And therefore, it could be a gateway to seeds being planted in you, something starting to grow within you that will begin to pull you away from the Lord. I will tell you this confidently, though. God loves us so much, he convicts us. But we have to follow the conviction. And when we start saying yes to the Lord, then all of a sudden we can just hear from him, no more of that. Yes, Lord. You just find yourself saying yes to him. You find yourself just obeying him. But the more we resist when he tells us not to, the more hard-hearted we get, and we won't be able to hear him. Then we wonder, why isn't God speaking? Why isn't things happening like they used to happen within my life? Why? And all of a sudden, we just kind of, why am I in this wilderness? Well, if we just go back some time, was there a time when God was speaking to us about something, and it was very clear what he said, and then the conviction gets less and less and less and less. But once again, I want to encourage you here this evening. If you're a believer in Jesus, he said every plant. So God continues to work with us. God continues to work with us, even though we sometimes are just flat out stubborn. I just thank God for the relentless pursuit of God after my life and after your life. I just am so thankful that he continues to pursue us, even at times when we're not even pursuing him. Because you have to go ahead and grab hold of something like this. Every plant or every teaching or every type of thinking, any type of emotional response or the way that you process information or even wrong decision making. Anything that goes on in the interior life that has to do with our thinking that is not of God, we have a promise right here. It says, what does it say? Every plant. So we could say every false teaching, every wrong thing that goes on with inside of us, which my heavenly Father has not planted or has not been a seed of God within your life to grow up into a plant, it says, will be what? Uprooted. And what I love so much about that is uprooted means there isn't anything left. It's just not snipping it off at the top. The whole root of it comes out. And what I'm so glad about when I see that, sometimes we're told in Scripture, I believe it's when the tares and the wheat were sown together, and they said, should we pull up the wheat? Should we pull up the tares? And Jesus says, no, because you might pull up some of the wheat with it. So just let them grow together until the end of the harvest. He's talking about false believers in congregations. And he says, they're going to get exposed on the day of judgment. So don't worry about it. You just continue on with your life with Jesus. But what I like about so much of this is that if there's a wrong teaching that intertwines with something else, a lot of times when you pull a root, some of those roots are intertwined with something else. And God has a way of pulling up one thing that will deal with this and that and that and that. Isn't that nice that he could cause one thing to be pulled up in your life and it takes care of three or four other things? Like, hallelujah! Amen? And that's what's exciting. So you got to grab hold of that here this evening. And just, you might want to pray about that tonight when you go home. You know, Lord, sometimes with your dealings with me, I just kind of shrug them off. You know, I don't quite pay attention to you at times like I should. And I know you've convicted me about certain things. I'm just not convicted about that anymore. And if I've become hard, Lord God, against you in that area, please forgive me. I want to be soft and pliable in your hands, Father. And a lot of times the Lord can take you immediately back, right back. You know, the conviction where it once was, he is just so wonderful just to show you that. And say, you know, Lord God, I think I'm at a point where I'm ready at this time with your Holy Spirit and with your word and by your grace, Lord God, your ability that you have placed within me, let's go ahead and begin working on this. You know, I give you permission once again. You know, I don't want anything within my life, any planting that has come into my life that you have not ordained for my life. I don't want it to be operative in my life. I don't want it to speak in my life. I don't want it to come up in my thinking, Lord God. And you promise, this is a promise of God. You have to take this as a promise of God. Every thought, every way of thinking, how we process information and make decisions that did not originate from God will be uprooted. You go ahead and just grab that. And if you need to make it a matter of prayer this evening, then go ahead and do that. You can even do it right now as I'm teaching. You could just say a little prayer out loud. You know, Lord God, I'm just believing you exactly what your word says. Everything that's within my life that you did not ordain for my life, which has not been given to me, Lord God, by you, I want it uprooted completely and fully from my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Right? Hallelujah. And so we see the importance here. And now he says, and he's trying to get his disciples' attention. He goes, you all, everybody's so concerned about what goes in the mouth, and I don't hear any concern about what comes out of the mouth. And I'll start again with verse 13 here. Then he answered and said to them, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. Talking about the Pharisees that were offended in what he was saying. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both of them will fall into a ditch. There's going to be a fruit. There's going to be an evidence. The way that they're going, because they're blind, they're going to trip up. Their own words are going to trip them up. And everybody's going to see that they're going to get tripped up. Remember, Jesus spoke to them as whitewashed sepulchers. In other words, that they had an outward appearance, but inwardly they had no life of God within them. And he says that's only going to last so long. They're going to end up tripping up over themselves. And everybody who's following their teaching is going to get tripped up also, and they're going to look like idiots because they're saying that they know the way, and they fall into a ditch. Or what they really are on the inside, it's going to be revealed, and they'll be tripped up. How many of you know that if you speak a lie, you'll have to say 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 more to cover it up, and seven, and try to and those to cover up those, and eventually, the light gets shined. You know, something will come where all of it will be exposed, and that's our ditch time. You know, if there's something that I have said, if there's a falseness that we have said. A falsehood that has said, and if I need to be humbled and fall, I'd rather be humbled and fall now than not deal with it now than stand before him, you know, after I breathe my last breath. So go ahead and eat your humble pie now. If something comes to the surface now, let it come to the surface now. I'd rather fall in a ditch, get tripped up on my own words, be exposed now than stand before the Lord and say, you didn't deal with this. So at times, God allows what we call pie in the face, you know, eat dirt or whatever it is that we call. It does come. What goes around comes around. You might say, well, Pastor, that's not biblical. Okay. What you want others to do to you, do to others what you want them to do to you. That's the world's version of what goes around comes around. How you want others to be treated, you treat them in like manner. Doesn't that say that in Matthew, what? Matthew... What do we call that? What do we teach children that? We call that the golden rule, a rule that we should live by. Let me just read it to you, make sure I'm quoting it right. I believe it's in Matthew. If anybody knows where it's at, just shout it out. Shout it out. That's a good song, too. Hallelujah. Okay, I don't see it right here, so I'll just, if one of you see it, I've got my Bible so written up that I can't even see sometimes the scripture here that's in front of me. Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. It's in Matthew 7, verse 12. It says, therefore, whatever you want men or people to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And so if we find ourselves deceiving somebody, deception is going to come back to us. If we find ourselves lying to somebody, we're going to find ourselves being lied against. In other words, what you want others to do to you, you do to them. Well, hey, I don't want anybody to deceive me or lie about me or say lies to me, right? Well, then we don't let that come out of our mouth to them then, okay? So what you don't want to come out of, what you don't want to receive in life, then make sure you're not giving it out, right? Praise the Lord. And what you want to receive or come back to you, make sure you're depositing that. Make sure you're putting godly deposits in people's lives. All righty, let me get back to this here. Verse 15 of Matthew 15. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And Jesus said to them, you could almost wonder if he just went, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand? Whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated. Right? We don't need to have any expository teaching on that verse now, do we? Okay? Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, come from our thoughts, come from the inward person, how we think. That which comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they defile a person. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, wickedness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So he's trying to, what he's talking about when he says what comes out of the heart or out of the mouth, he's speaking in this case here, the defiling things that come out of a person's mouth. And so there are things that we can speak that are healthy, that are godly, that are wholesome, that are edifying. The Word of God says that we're to speak edification to one another, or it says here that out of our heart can come things that which defile or tear somebody down. In other words, to defile means to make unclean, to throw dirt on them. As one person once said, hey, I got some dirt on you. I said, fine, shake it out. You know, sometimes people think that they get something on you and they try to use something that they think that they have. And when I've had people say, I said, sure, go ahead. I don't care who you say it to. I said, I answer to God. And so I got some dirt on you. I said, really? I think you probably got dirt on everybody. You know, I said, I don't really care to know what it is. So you're free to go share it with whoever you want to share it with. And when they come to me, we'll deal with it then. But I wasn't going to allow them, whatever that preconceived dirt was, I wasn't going to allow them to try to bring me into a place of bondage. And that's what sometimes, I know something about you, you know. And I'll keep it quiet, though. See, they're trying to gain control. They're trying to get an upper hand in your life. They're trying to hold something over on you. Fine. Great. Why don't you make it a matter of prayer? Why don't you believe God with me? Why don't you turn it into something good instead of trying to use it as a way of dominating things over a person's life? I said, hey, you're free to go share with anybody. I said, I answer to God, and I said, if it's that bad, then and you don't want to tell me with it, it must not be that bad because you don't even want it to come out of your mouth. So we see here that there's things that we can say that are edifying, and there's things here that can be defiling, defilement that comes out of our mouth. And with this, I want us to just to go back to Jesus' words, and if you'll notice a lot in Christianity, a lot of these type of words that Jesus has said are not really even brought up in many places. Because it's not something that tickles the ear. It's not something that people really want to hear. I didn't really come to church to hear that, you know, tonight. You know, I've already had a rough day, and he's going to read these passages of Scripture. Forget this stuff, you know. But you see, if we stay with the teaching long enough, we get to some good stuff, though. It says here in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 12, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. A tree is known by its fruit. Wait a second here. Jesus said, make the tree good. We have a choice. Tree, you know, it's speaking about a person. A tree is speaking about a person here. And the person has the choice. The person has the choice of the type of fruit that they bear. We all have the choice of what we think about and what proceeds out of our mouth. We all have the choice. Doesn't it tell us in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where the Lord even spoke to the children of Israel, he said, choose you this day. He said, he had them make a choice. He says, over here I've got blessings. Over here are curses. Over here that which is good. Over here that which is bad. And God is like making a choice. Well, you know, even a smart 3 or 4 year old, 5 year old, say, of course I want the blessing and the good. Right? That you and your seed may live. You know, God even tells us, he has these blessings, and this is what accompanies these blessings, and here are curses, and these are what accompany the curses. What person in their right mind would choose purposely to be cursed? Right? And so we purposely wouldn't choose that. That's why I have such faith in what God's word says, that every plant within my life, every type of thinking, anything that is not of him will be uprooted, removed completely and entirely from my life. I hope you grab hold of that here this evening. And then he's talking to religious people that have come to him. He's talking about the Pharisees, like in verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard, and so he's speaking to them these words right now, and then he goes on to say, brood of vipers, talking about the Pharisees, offspring of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? And this is, remember, this is something else about the inner life will be made manifest in our speaking, in our words. For out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. Out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil things. Isn't that cool? That we can all develop a spiritual treasure chest on the inside of us. A spiritual treasure chest of the teachings of God. We can learn all the attributes of God, the nature of God, the character of God, the promises of God, the blessings of God, and we could just fill our treasure chest of our heart full of all these wonderful promises and all that God's word has said, and we can fill and we can fill and we can fill. And once that treasure chest is filled, if we're investing in it, then we'll be able to take from that investment and it will come out of our, it will come into our thinking and eventually out of our mouth. But what we are depositing in that treasure chest, whether it be a treasure chest of what the Word of God refers to, gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And so we have to ask ourselves, what deposits have I been making in the treasure chest of my heart, my mind, my will, my thinking? What have I been renewing my mind to? What are the things I've been allowing to come inside of me? If I was to say that there's two treasure chests, where has the majority of my investment been in? And if we just take a moment and think about, you know, things going on in life, everyday life, the ups and downs of everyday life, where has the majority of the thinking gone? Has it gone to the evil heart? Evil just means the wrong. It means that which is not of God. We have to get in our thinking here. When he speaks of evil, You know, sometimes we think of this dastardly, hideous individual, right? It's just wrong. No, wrong way of thinking, wrong way of making choices, wrong way of dealing with situations that we're facing every day. But when we think of it, if we were to think of it as evil, that wasn't evil. Or if we say, was it wrong though? It brings evil right down to where we live. Or was it good and upright? And was it the way that God himself would have done, or the way that Jesus himself would have done? Is that what is coming up in my thinking and proceeding out of my life? And so you have to ask yourself, which treasure chest has been in operation today or yesterday? Where has that treasure, in other words, what we treasure is, in the thinking here, what Jesus is saying, the treasure is talking about what we've deposited of God's word and his blessings and his teachings and his promises and how we're supposed to view life and conduct ourselves in life in our relationships with other people. Is that what's coming forth, or how we used to be treated, or maybe somebody did us wrong? And that's in that treasure chest, and that's what's coming up. And we have to be able to realize, no, that is not the treasure chest I'm born of. I'm born of God now. And I don't take from that wrong treasure chest, even though things that were done wrong with me. I have a choice now. I have an ability to choose. And I decide, you know what? That was wrong in which I was treated, or that was wrong in the things that occurred to me within life. I'm going to choose that which is of God. And I'm going to live from God's treasure. Amen? And so that's a choice that we make. And he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the treasure he's referring to is the heart, that what the heart is being filled with. Then verse 36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word, this word idle means inoperative, ineffective, void or empty, that which will not produce the fruit of God. It says, but I say unto you, every idle word that men or people will speak, they will give an account of on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That is strong. I mean, it's like, Lord, we say a lot of words. We talk a lot. I was like, on the day of judgment, we're going to give an account of all those things? But remember, we can live what Pastor Bill taught us many years ago is called living judgments. We can judge or discern ourselves, our lives, moment by moment, conversation by conversation, day by day, or at the end of the night, the evening, we can take a quick moral inventory. You know, how was this day today? You know, Lord, how are the words that came out of my mouth? How are the things that I was processing information, the choices and decisions and the relationships or the people that I conversed with today? Is there anything that I need to settle an account with you before I go to sleep? See, if we settle it now, it will be settled then because we've settled it now. So on the day of judgment, that will never be brought up because it's already been dealt with. But if we just kind of stuff it aside, oh, big deal, oh, who cares? Everybody lives like that. Everybody talks like that. You know, I heard this Christian cuss, so I go ahead and cuss. I don't judge myself by what others are doing. I judge myself, I discern my life by what God's word says. Because if we judge ourselves, the word of God says if we compare ourselves with ourselves, you do evil, you do wrong. Because we look for a standard. And usually when we're comparing ourselves with other people, we try to find a person who's at a whole lot lower standard. You know, like, oh, me compared to them, I'm doing good, right? You know, oh, look at that person. I'm not like them. And then we like, I look pretty good. Now let's just put Jesus up there. Woo-hoo. Right? But the word of God says that's who our comparison should be because that's the one we're going to give an account to. So the comparison we judge ourselves is Jesus or the word of God. And so if we come up short, I don't have to come up short. I can deal with it. You can deal with it. And that's the encouraging thing. You have to realize that these things are all overcomable. Okay, that's why the word of God has the word overcome in it, because there are going to be things in our life inside of us that are going to have to be what? Resolved and overcome. But at times, life tries to be so overwhelming that it overcomes us. And we just sometimes buckle under the pressure. I don't understand what's going on here. Sometimes we'll even blame God. And with all these things, see, a person won't blame God if you know God. Because if you know God is good and he sees everything and he's everywhere present, God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. And so I live from a place that if any change needs to take place, the change is here. Why? Because Scripture says in Malachi chapter 3, I am the Lord, I change not. So God's not going to change. He is who he is. And so if we don't like something, well, you need to change us. We're saying, Lord, what you did is wrong. Well, wait a second. I'm the Lord, I change not. Okay, here. I'm just not getting something, Lord, that you need to show me right now. Okay? Because you're good. And you've got the direction for my life, Lord God. You've got the direction for this here. So God isn't the problem. God is and has the solution. That's where your thought always has to be. Never blame God. God is your answer and your solution. And if you always look at it that way as your answer and your solution, you're going to find yourself, okay, Lord God, I'm the one that needs to get in line with you because you have your best always for me. Amen? Okay. Now, one of the other ones I wanted to just look at here this evening. It looks like I'm just going to get through my introduction. So the next time I teach on a Wednesday night, we'll probably pick it up here, is in Proverbs. Let's see here. Proverbs 18. Put the glasses back on. Thank you, Lord, for glasses. I remember there was a time where people were believing God and people were throwing away their glasses. And you saw the result of it immediately in the parking lot. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry I bumped into your car. It wasn't faith, it was foolishness. Okay. That person immediately ran back in the church and pulled him out of the trash can. Proverbs. I think sometimes the Lord really chuckles at some of our faith ventures, you know. It's just amazing. He's like, you know, look at that person, really, really trying to just walk in faith and believe me, and they're just going to have to pay for a little automobile body work there, though. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. It says, death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. And my cross-reference here is back to Matthew chapter 12, where we just came from. Let me drop down here to verse 20. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips shall he be filled. Okay, so it even talks about that our very life, the very health of our physical life, our physical health, our mental health, it even talks about, you know, the words and what we believe. The writer here is comparing it to food that we eat to satiate us or to nourish us. And so we have to realize that the words that we're thinking and the words that we're producing or letting flow from our life, are they that which you would purposely eat a bowl of yourself? Are you willing to take that and nourish your own body with what is proceeding forth from your mouth? Okay? And so he's trying to say here that we don't even realize that which proceeds forth from us, it's actually having an impact on the inside of you. And you know, sometimes people that, you know, they're so angry, they're so bitter, they're so angry, you see people develop arthritis. You see people with stomach problems. My stomach is in such a knot. You know, if that just stupid person, if I could just get that person out of my life, sometimes they don't even associate the physical condition or constipation or certain things that we think that are, oh, I just need some more X-lax, or I need some more of this, I need some more fiber in my diet, or they think about all this, and yet it's a spiritual mental type of condition, and they're angry and they're upset, and it's causing a tightening of the stomach, and it's tightening of the colon, and everything is being constricted and not able to flow smoothly because of a condition that is taking place within their thinking and things that proceed out of their mouth. And so they have to depend on all this exterior stuff to get things moving and get things flowing, and antacids and all this other stuff. So the Word of God is even telling us a man's stomach will be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. In other words, our own life will be a recipient. In other words, what we dole out, we begin to experience within our own lives. And the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. You know, that person is a no good blankety blank, whatever we might say, that actually just rebounds right back to us. Rebounds right back to us, and we'll be filled with that fruit. And so you have to be careful of that. That's why the next verse says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you want to eat of that? What do you want to eat of? Okay? And he gives us the choice. What we eat of, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How many of you have ever known a person who likes to get the juicy tidbits on you know, like we use the word gossip. The Bible calls it gossip or table bearing. You know why they called it table bearing? Because a person could come up to your table, hey, how you doing today? Fine, good. And they're sitting there, and they're just looking for the scoop on something. They're just listening. And they hear, you know what? Now, let's say I'm somebody sitting at the table with Frank and Michelle, and Frank says something to Michelle, and Michelle says something back to Frank, and well, I don't quite agree with that. Oh, there's problem in Trentville. They're not agreeing, and this person goes over to this table and they bear the tale. I think, as a matter of prayer, we need to pray for the Trents. You know, I heard, you know, there must be some kind of strife. And the other person at the table, well, what did you hear? Well, I probably shouldn't tell you. But it's a matter of prayer. And so they go from one table to another table to another table to another table and bear the tale that they heard. You see, that's why God does not like table bearers, because they're swift to shed innocent blood. They move quickly to grab what they can and lodge it into somebody else's heart. And I'll tell you the problem of it. I'll tell you what happens when a falsehood is spoken, as one was spoken about me and it was spread. I like using myself as an example. I probably could look around and use some of you, but I won't. At times, the person will clean the mess up with you, but all the other tables, the mess is still in. And in the situation that I'm referring to, that when it occurred with me and the reconciliation was with me, the other people that heard what they said are still looking at me with wrong eyes. Okay? In other words, what it does when a person table bears or speaks a falsehood, about somebody and it lodges within them, you perceive, like I was using Frank and Michelle as example before, you begin looking at them with different eyes. Oh, they got marital problems. You know, so they're always kind of looking at Frank and Michelle as they're full of strife and they got marital problems because of what was said. Instead of, they didn't know that it was the truth, but they look at him with slanted eyes, with a different view. So let's say Frank looks at Michelle and just goes, you know, just kind of makes a look at her. Oh yeah, that strife is still going on. See, they're looking at the person with the wrong view. And that view would have never been put there if somebody wouldn't have ever said which they said and planted that. But once again, what do we have? We have that truth that every plant which the Heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. And that's what I rejoice in. I rejoice that God is still at work in all of our hearts and in all of our lives, uprooting what needs to be uprooting. And what Jesus said, the parable of the sower and the seed, and his word is continually planted in its place. Amen? Hallelujah! And so, but once again, you can see the writer here of Proverbs giving it that we have a choice. We have a choice of death and life. And we can release its power through our tongue. Amen? And the other one I wanted us to see, let's go drop back here two chapters in Proverbs chapter 16. Ah, yes. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Now, we looked at some of the negative stuff here, but let's look at this one here. Okay, I think I'll start with, we'll start with verse 21. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. This right here, when it talks about the wise in heart, those who have heard, especially what God's word has said, remember Jesus he talked about two different foundations. He talked about one built on a rock and one built on sand. And he talked about one being wise, one being foolish. And he talked about the one being foolish who only hears his words but does nothing with them. And he said that the wise person are those who hear the word of God, receive it, and do it. As they take the word of God in, they allow that word of God to be assimilated within their lives, and they find themselves being what? Doers of the word. He says, this one, this person is founded on the rock because storms are going to come to both of them. Just the hearer of the word is the one who's going to be the teeter-totter Christian, and that the storms of life, when the wind comes and the rain comes and the wind blow against it, they're going to be the ones that are always going to be called, oh, this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened. They're going to find themselves going everywhere because they didn't hear the word of God in such a way where it lodged within them and they are actually acting on it and living from that truth. And so here, when it talks about the wise, as a person who hears the word of God, receives the word of God, it says that one will be identified, that one will be identified as a wise and understanding one. When you are a person of the word, and you're allowing that word to become life in you, people will recognize it. People will see it. And they'll want to come to you for prayer. They'll want to come to you for ministry. They'll realize that you're just not a yes. You know, you ever heard a person that's just they're referred to as a yes man or a yes person? They just say yes because they just want to appease whoever it is that they're around and to make themselves look important. You know, a yes man. Yeah, yes, okay. But really never carry anything out. That is not a prudent or a person who's wise with understanding because the word of God has been developed within them and they have a life that shows it. People come to people who are stable in the Word of God, and they see the Word of God working with inside that person's life, and they seek ministry. They'll seek ministry from a person that has heard the Word of God, who has taken that Word in, they're living that Word, they're bearing the fruit of that Word, and here the word prudent means the wisdom that they've heard, they have become. The wisdom that they've heard, they have become. And they are known, they are identified as that. Don't we all want to be identified as that? Don't we all want to grow to a place of spiritual maturity where we've heard the word of God, it has come into our life, it's changing our life. Now remember, when I'm saying this, I'm not talking perfection. I'm talking about an ever-increasing faith, a ever-growing revelation for wisdom upon wisdom upon wisdom to be implanted within our life. But that which we have heard, we are grasping, we are taking in, we are assimilating, and we're asking God by his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to live out these truths. There's a dependence that we have on God. It's a continual transforming process. There are areas that I've been greatly transformed in. There are areas, wow, NI needs improvement. You know, God's still at work. You know, and there's all these construction things up. You know, God's working there. But he's working. Can you say he's working? He's working. God's working in me. God's working in you. Don't get down on yourself. Say that I'm a wise person. Say a 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Let's see. I think I've got the right verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of God, capital H, so speaking of God, but of God, you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, so this is what we have of God, and we received it because we're in Christ Jesus, who became for us. Jesus became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, if Jesus is wisdom from God, if Jesus is righteous, if Jesus was Jesus completely set apart unto God in every area of his life? And did not Jesus secure our redemption for us? He's the head. We're the body. Oh, everything that the head has flows into the body. So I have available to me the wisdom of God. So you can say today, I've got available what? The wisdom of God. Because Jesus has all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding. Everything that the head has, Jesus is the head, we are the body, flows into the body. What's the next part? Righteousness. God has given me a right standing with him. But God also teaches me how to live right before him in all my choices. He teaches me. So when I mess up, I'm convicted. Lord God, forgive me. Boom, I get right, I move right. When he convicts me I'm not right, I get right, move right. Pretty simple. But don't sit there and dwell, oh, I blew it today. I need 100 hands laid on me. There's nothing wrong with getting prayer. You know, and you know, and then all of a sudden, oh, blah, 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 and we go on the whole long list of all the wrongs that were done. Listen, God knows what you did wrong. Repent before him. Let's get it right. Let's get the blood of Jesus Christ applied to it. Let's find out what the word of God has to say. Get that planted with inside your heart in that area and move in the wisdom of God. Move in a place that you're now in a right standing with him. It says, if we, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. So when we're cleansed from unrighteousness, I expect fully that his righteousness takes its place. Amen. And the next two, sanctification and redemption. If Jesus completely lived a life that was completely separated in God into all things, then I have the ability in Jesus Christ to live a life that is sanctified or that which glorifies him or what I like to refer to as a God-honoring lifestyle. I have the ability, you have the ability to live a God-honoring lifestyle because I'm attached to Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. So the very life that Jesus lived or Jesus has now flows within me and now flows within you. It's really not that difficult if you would just begin acknowledging these types of truth and the redemption that he has secured for us. He redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. He redeemed us from the flesh. He redeemed us from our sin. He redeemed us from failure. He redeemed us. Well, if you can begin having a list of what Jesus Christ has redeemed us from, then those things can really have and hold no power over you because you've been redeemed from them. The only power that they have over us if we allow it or say or believe that they have a power over us, okay? If it's a wrong belief, then God wants to change that belief. Once again, belief and faith are from the same word, pistos and pistuo in the Greek. And so a lot of times the word faith is used and a lot of times the word belief is used. Because it sounds very strange in the English language, I have put my, I'm believing God for this. We don't say, I'm faithing God for this. We have two different words that can be interchanged. In the Greek word, it's the same word, But in the English translation, we say I'm believing God instead of I'm faithing God. When was the last time you said I'm faithing God for something? It's like, oh, that's weird. But it's actually the same Greek word. But in the English language, we don't put faithing, we put believing. Okay? And so we have to have a realization, okay, that which is not of him, you know what? I am believing God that he has secured a complete release for me in that area, and that is what I know that God is working within me. Amen? And see, these are things that God wants to be real. He doesn't want you to deny these things. If there's something going on in your life that is not of God, then he wants to reveal it to you so it can be of God. You know, changed to become of God. So you have available right now wisdom from God. Now, did you hear what I said? I just didn't say knowledge. The Word of God says what? Wisdom. Wisdom means you receive the know-how, the knowledge. You also receive the instructions on how to apply it. You have an understanding of what's being said. And then he also gives you the ability for application. A lot of things we can repeat because we know. But has it come to a place of getting it, gripping it? I understand that. And then God says he's going to show you how to apply it and how it's to function within your life. Wisdom talks about the knowledge coming across as doable or functioning within your life. What good is a person if they're just a dictionary? Would you rather go to a dictionary or go to a person that says, you know what, here, you know, this is what it says, and this is what God has done within my life, and this is how it's working within my life, and start giving you some examples how God is showing how it's working within their life. And so one is just giving you information, but the other one is giving you information with also some application, with application. Some of the best training a person will ever get is OJT, on-the-job training, where they get information and they get their hands on with it also. Wisdom applying is applying what you know in actual life experience. Amen? And so we have this available to us. And what is of Jesus, it belongs to you also. So let me finish with this right here. This would be we're past our time, so I'm going to drop down here. In verse 24, it says, pleasant words. Well, this word pleasant means suitable. It means kind. It means beautiful. It means something that which is bright. And it's really cool that even in the Hebrew definition, it says grace words. Grace words. Did you know that the Old Testament uses the word grace? What did Noah find in the sight of God? Grace. And so even back in Genesis, the word grace is used, and it's the word favor. So it talks about grace words or utterances that will produce or will release God's favor. In other words, that which is in line with God. So it says pleasant words, suitable, that which is... How many of you know that you could have a conversation with somebody and that's just not suitable? You know what you're saying is that's just not helping. That's just not helping at all. God wants to be able to give us to us and through us, things that suitable means that which would be helpful to the hearer, whether it be you hearing it from God or God using you so somebody else could hear it. It says they're like what? A honeycomb. It talks about the fruit of it will be sweetness. It talks about an overflowing, a honeycomb here refers to the figurative speech, means an overflowing of God's blessing and provision. And if it happens to be wisdom, then wisdom will be granted. If it happens to be understanding, then understanding will be granted. If it happens to be a divine revelation that comes from God that they need, then God will produce that also within their life. It says it will be sweetness, pleasantness. This word sweetness also, one of the definitions, it says it will nurture or produce nutrition. Nutrition, spiritual nutrition to the soul. Wow. It will nourish us spiritually, it will nourish us mentally, and it says, what else will it nourish? And health to the bones. So it speaks of right here, this word health, it means it will bring the cure, it will bring healing, it will bring refreshing, it also can bring deliverance, and what a lot of people need today, it will bring tranquility or peace. Peace. It says, you know, it speaks to the bones, to the very structure of one's being, to the very structure of your life. So when it refers to the bones, it's also referring to the body. It's referring to the whole human element side of us. And so it speaks here that there are words that God wants us to hear from him, and there are words that he wants us to deliver to other people that will cause, what, nutrition. Now, I'm not just saying that they're always going to be nice things. How many of you know that sometimes a medicine that is taken can be very bitter, but it has such excellent results, okay? And so at times, God is going to give us something to say. You know, he'll give us those things that needs to be said, but it's going to minister. It's going to bring his life into their spirit and into their soul. It's also going to minister to their body. So we looked at earlier, let me just finish with this. We looked at words that are spoken in an improper way can mess up a person's body. Can just put you in knots. But we looked here that the right kind of words, the God kind of words, will actually bring nourishment, will actually bring in healthful thinking. It will bring in the way a different view, the way that God wants us to view. It will bring in tranquility within our thinking. It will bring peace of God within our lives. And it will actually bring health to our bodies. And so there's the choice. There's the choice. And so don't we want this one here? Don't you want to end with this one here? That we want that which God has for our lives. And that's why we're here. We want what God has for our life. But we live life. We get out there every day in the world. We get things thrown at us from every direction. So at times, the right treasure isn't coming out. Hello? The right treasure doesn't always come out. But it can come out. You don't have to let the wrong treasure, that the way that it has been done, come out. We can choose the treasure of God, the words of God, the thinking of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the sensitivity to the voice of God, that voice that doesn't yell, that still small voice, you know, that is speaking. And we can hear a word from the Lord. This is the way, walk you in it. This is what I have for you right now. Don't choose the old way that you used to choose. And then all of a sudden we just hear, and we just allow that to come out of us in the way that he wants it to come out. But it's going to begin first, before it ever comes out of your mouth, it begins in the internal life. And that's what we started out with today. We started out with the inner life. And your self-life or the inner life or the self-talk, you can just take a quick examination, just maybe of today. You can just tell from your life today, if you had to compare two treasure chests, the treasure chest filled with God's word and God's promises and God's blessings and God's teachings and God's character and God's nature, or the treasure chest filled with the old man, the old ways, that of the world, or the way that the world does, or the things that you were brought up with in life that brought damage within you or caused you to view or wrong teachings from education that caused you to have a different view on life, and you just compare real quick. Just do a quick comparison right now. Which treasure was being pulled from today? And see, it's just as simple as that. And if it was from God's treasure, hallelujah, more of God's treasure. But if it was pulled out of the wrong treasure box, then guess what? What I like about treasure boxes, if you ever seen a treasure chest, it's got a lid. I can put a lid on it, and I can put a lock on it and keep that stuff. Actually, I don't really want to put a lid on it. I want the Lord to pick it up, dump it upside down, and sweep it out of my life so there's nothing else in that box. Amen? Because he said it will be what? Uprooted. So at times, you got to put a lid on it until it's dealt with. But then when it's dealt with, it's uprooted. And I want your treasure chest of God. I want that treasure chest to be overflowing. And I want that other one. Man, there's hardly any stuff in there anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, we want to thank you this evening for coming to a place, a greater understanding of the power of choice, the power of thought. The power of decision, Lord God. The power of speech. The ability that you have given us, Lord God. It says that the worlds were created. The heavens were created by the word of your mouth, Lord God. You've put within man the ability to communicate, the ability to speak. And there is such power. As the Word of God talks about, it talks about the spirit of faith. And when it refers to the spirit of faith, when you look it up, it talks about the breath of faith. Because then it also refers to the word of faith. Because spirit is really breath. And the only way that we can communicate, like right now, I put my hand over my mouth. And when I'm speaking, breath is coming out. Spirit, breath, word of faith. And so we thank you, Lord God, that we are a faith people. That's why we call ourselves believers. And we are faithers. Because we live by faith. We are not moved by sightedness. We are moved, Lord God, by the heavenly sightedness, the heavenly vision, the heavenly revelation, the word, Lord God, that you reveal and speak unto us, that has a priority within our thinking, Lord God, within our inner life. We give you the priority. We give you, as it says in Colossians, Jesus, we give you the preeminent place within inside of us. We allow you, Lord God. I allow you. We allow you to be Lord. We just don't say Jesus is Lord. We allow your lordship over our lives. And we look forward to you governing us. Because you are good. And so we love you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord. And that we are becoming more sensitive to your word and to your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen.